This is all about the halachas of Birkas Hamazon of Zimun. Shlosh Shach Lukachas. Page 100 even. Shlosh Shach Lukachas. Three people who ate as one. In other words, they ate their meal together. Chayav Mezamin, they have to be Mezamin. Achal Tmai, you might say, Rishon Shnolit Lo Trumaso. Now, even if you ate something which is of questionable kashrus, such as Demai, the Gemara is going to discuss what the issue is with the Demai later, but you ate something, Chayav Mezamin, it says Demai, you're not sure if all the Maisers were taken off. Or Maisa Rishon Shnei L'Trumaso, you took Maisa Rishon, which belongs to the Levi, but the Levi had received it prior to the Truma having been taken off the grain. So the Truma's Maisa was taken off this Maisa, in other words, the tenth of the Maisa, which goes to the Kohen, that was taken off. But the Maisa off the entire crop had not been taken off. So therefore, I'm sorry, the Truma off the entire crop had not been taken off. So there is a little bit of an Avera involved in this substance, which is that this Maiser was set aside from the grain prior to the Truma being set aside in the grain, which is a prohibition. And another case is Maiser Sheni Hektish Sheniftu. Maiser Sheni Hektish would have been redeemed, but as the Pnei Moshe brings down, the extra added fifth, which normally you have to add on when you redeem Hektish, Maiser Sheni had not been added on. So all these cases are cases where there's a slight prohibition involved, a slight to moderate prohibition. Nonetheless, in all these three cases of Demai, Maisir Shanit Lo Trumaso, it's Truma, Truma's Maisir, but not the Truma on the entire batch of grain, and Maisir Shanit Hektish, and Hektish, which redeemed, but not with the tacked on fifth, all these cases, you have a problem. Nonetheless, Yechayv and Zimun, the people who ate this food are Mitzarev all together to create a threesome for benching. Vashamash Shochel Gezayis, a Shamash waited Gezayis worth, even though he's the Shamash and he's not really integrally part of the meal as the waiter, he also joins in. Fakuti, these are the days when they still held the Samaritans were valid Gerim, and therefore they include in the Zimu as well. Avo, however, Ochal Tevel, if the individual ate Tevel, which is things which are completely unticed, or Maisa Rishon Shlonit Lo Trumaso, or Maisa Rishon from which the Trumas Maisa had not yet been taken, or Maisa Sheni Hektish out to Yerushalayim, obviously, which are not redeemed, Shalom Niftu. Now, these are all more weighty. These are more severe prohibitions. And a Shamish, Shoach HaPachazayis, who didn't eat a Gezayis worth of bread, so he didn't really join in the meal fully, Vanochri, and of course the Goy, Amos Omni Molem, all these latter cases are not individuals who are included in the quorum for a three for Zimun. No, one will not discuss that. It's probably just mentioned conscious distinction to the ratio. It won't, at least the Ushalmi won't discuss it. I don't remember if the Babli does or does not.
Why would
he thanks God. Why can't he do anything?
He wouldn't be part of the
Why not? It's not so simple. Some say, you know, it's not one of the mitzvahs, the Tariag mitzvahs, to make a Zimun. Benching is. But Zimun is not. Maybe one could say that he's included in a threesome to thank God. The Chiddush is that this too has a mitzvah quality, and therefore Jukayim don't join in. That's what I would say. I don't know if that's correct enough. That's what I would say. Hachitmar. So here it says in our Mishnah, in the next Mishnah it says, Hocha is the next Mishnah, even though Hocha means now, but it means in the next Mishnah in the case. Itmar, it says, Ein Rashoim L'cholik, that the three people who got together are not allowed to split up. Vika, and here in our Mishnah, Itmar, it says that the three people, Chayov and Lazamin. Why the two Mishnahs seem to be repetitive, seems to be redundant. So Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, there are Chidushim in each one of the Mishnahs. One, the Mishnahis are enumerating the ways in which one can make up or become part of a threesome for benching. There's a way to do so initially, and the way to do so after the fact, so to speak. One of these ways, Ezu b'tchilo ve'ezu basof. What is considered to be a first way at the beginning, and what is at the end? Chayin Amoirim. The two Amoraim will interpret Shmuel's statement. Chad Amar Nosnu Das Lechol Zeu B'Tchila. The one said that when they focused themselves and said, let us eat together. That means that they planned the meal in unison. That's called B'Tchila. These three people now have to bench together, they have to make a Zimun. Ochlu Kizayis, that's the interpretation of B'Tchila. What does the B'Sof mean? All those eyes, even if they didn't plan their meal together, they didn't launch into it as one. But they ate a Kizayis together, they ate a Kizayis as part and parcel of the same sitting, so that's B'Sof, that also is a way which requires them to bench. So one of the Mishnayis indicates the one way is one is coming together and playing the meal together requires them to bench with the Zimun, and the next Mishnah indicates that the other way, they're having eight of Gazai together even without the explicit statement, also requires them to make a Zimun together. That's one interpretation of Tchil B'Sof. The Charon HaAmai, the other Amora, said, how do you interpret Tchil B'Sof? He says, Och L'Kizai Zo B'Tchila. Tira Kizai is together, that's called B'Tchila. That's what he calls B'Tchila. Gomer Achilosan. Even if they didn't eat together, however, if they finished the meal at the same time, then they bear their bench together. Which means that they don't really have to eat at the same time. He ate 5 minutes earlier, he ate 10 minutes later, but as long as they're finishing up at the same time, then that's considered to be require them to bench together. Okay, to make a zimun together. Okay, Rabbi Abba b'shem Rav Huna and Rabbi Zir b'shem Abba bar Yirmiyah said, Shlosha choyva, three are mandated to make a zimun together. Shnaim, two rishus. If they want, they're allowed to make a zimun. They don't have to. It's not mandatory, but it's voluntary. We don't bask in this way, right? But what's fascinating about this Gemara is what you're about to see. What you're about to see, it's a pity there aren't more people in the Zim, we're about to see a classic Yerushalmi, perhaps the first one we've seen. A classic Yerushalmi sugya. One of the underlying qualities of the Yerushalmi, which we don't find that often in the Bible, although occasionally, is the concept of a hyperconnection. A hyperconnection means that a connection which transcends the normal parameters of similarity, which we would find in Talmudic logic. Okay? And that's what I'm about to say. We just saw before you came in that the Yerushalmi holds that three people are mandated to make a zimun together. They don't have to. It's rishus. And now we're up to the fourth line from the bottom on nun alf and alf. Amar Rabbi Zira kumi Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Yasa, Amar le. He said to him, Rabbi Zira said in front of Rabbi Yasa, I don't know this business of two can volunteer to make a zimun together. Never heard such a thing. All I know is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says shloishish ochlu kachas chayovin lezamin. Three people have to be mezamin. There ain't no such thing as two. Okay, so we set up here machlokas. Rabbi Abba b'shem Rav Huna said that even two. Rabbi Zira said in front of Rabbi Yasi only three, right? Not two, only three. Rabbanan da'acha b'daitun. Rabbanan da'asim b'daitun. Rabbanan in Bavel followed the Babylonian. Well, I don't know if that's exactly Bavel in Eretz Yisrael. I guess it is. Right, Rabbanan in Chutz Loretz. Rabbanan da'acha da'atun. Rabbanan in the Eretz Yisrael followed their line of reasoning, and Rabbanan also the rabbis in Bavel followed their line of reasoning. What's their line of reasoning? Shmuel Amar. This is the Babylonian opinion. Shnaim Shadonu. If two people sat in court, instead of how many people does the base normally require? Three. If two people sat in court, Dineim Din. Their psak is about psak. Elishanikra based in Chatzu. They call it a brazen basin. Because it's not proper. You shouldn't feel the Torah said three. So don't play games. Use three. But it's a good psak. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Lakish with the Israeli Amoraim, Tarbayu Army, they both say, Afilu Shnaim Shadonu, even the two people did judge, Ein Dineim Din. Their judgment is not a valid judgment. So you see the connection was being made between the unit of three by Zimun and the unit of three by benching, right? What? So that's what I'm saying. It defies the norm. The Yushami will defend itself. Yushami is going to come, is aware of your question.
Such connection is not found in the body.
Absolutely not. Between the three by benching and the three by basting.
But there are similar concepts don't seem to be related.
But not, of course there are, but not to this extent. We usually don't have a concept, a hyper connection between Zroim, or Chaim in this case, and Nezikin or Chodeshin Mishpat. This is a remarkable connection. Who the units of three, the Yushami is saying, a unit of three is a unit of three, transcending the specific application in which we're dealing with it. In other words, we, in Babylonian logic, so to speak, we would say that each issue requires its own definition, and therefore the threes are not necessarily similar. But the Yushami is saying, if we have a concept in the Torah of a unit of three, that transcends the specific application thereof. It's a very different approach.
Well, you have, I think in the Bible, there's a whole discussion as to why doctor three, because that means Shaka, you can't have it.
Right.
Numbers, it's like
this is totally different. Totally different. Right. But as I said, the Ushami will defend itself. Just a minute. Give the Ushami a few minutes. Rav Huna Amar, Shlosh Shachlu, Zebif Ne'atzvo. The Ushami is going to expand on this now. Rav Huna Amar, Shlosh Shachlu. Zebif Ne'atzvo, Zebif Ne'atzvo, Zebif Ne'atzvo. You have three people who ate separately. The one ate by himself, and the other ate by himself, and the other ate by himself. V'nisarvo, and then they became one unit. They came together. Mizamni. They can make a zimun. There's a very big chiddush. One ate in one room, another ate in the other room, another ate in the third room. They can all come together and make a zimun. Okay? Rav Chista Amar, Vein Shebo Misholosh Chaburos. Rav Chista said this is only true if each one ate in a unit of three wherever they originally ate. Then each one became chayv and zimun where they ate. So each one now is a bar chiyuva. He's subject to the responsibility to be mezamin. That's why when he comes together, each one comes together with one from the other chaburas, all of which are chaburas of three, then they form a new chabur of three and have to bench together. Kasha and Amaisa, the other two suffer. You're right. The question is what right he had to leave them. That's a separate issue. Let's say there are five in each room. Right, we can find a configuration which will work, okay? But the point is that Rav Huna holds that even if they each one say it separately, as long as now they came together, they fuse to become a Zimun entity. Rav Chisda holds that that's not true. Because that only if they originally, while they were eating, were part of a Zimun, now when they come together, also they retain that Chi of Zimun and they can bench together as their own new Zimun. That's Rav Chisda. Al daite Rabbi Zira v'chavro say. Now, according to Rabbi Zira, who said in Rambam Aleph, I don't know anything besides our Mishnah. Says shlosh shachlu kachas. So he's a literalist. He holds no such thing. They must have eaten together in order to be mezamein together, and therefore, even if they came from three chaburas, they can't be mezamein together. They have to have eaten together. So we have three opinions, right? One opinion is that even three individuals wait, each one in isolation. The next opinion, that's Rav Huna. Rav Chisda's opinion is that even if each one of the three, they can come together only so long as each one ate as part of a unit of three. And Rav Zero holds that they can never come together after they finish eating, they have to eat together. Now, Rabbi Yoina al Hadad Rav Huna. Rabbi Yoina said concerning that which Rav Huna said,
the Baal is
Chayiv. No, we're going to go through the three Shitas again. Rav Koyin and Rav Huna. This is amazing. He pil shovosh ezoiva zebif neatzvo vezebif neatzvo vezebif neatzvo. There's halacha by tzoras. Somebody who had tzoras, and now he becomes tohar. You have to sprinkle. You have to sprinkle blood on him. Blood, and I think oil, the oil you dab on, but the blood you sprinkle, the blood of the birds. One of the you take for a mitzvah, two birds, one of which you send away, the other which you shech, and you dip three azovim, three branches of a hyssop bush, into blood, and you sprinkle them with it. Oh. Now, do those three branches have to be together or not? It has to be three branches. So it's going to be, says the Yerushalmi, another hyper-connection, the same machloikas. What it was, says the Yerushalmi, says Rav Yoina, al adod Rav Huna, heat bil shol sheizoyva zevi neatzo, zevi neatzo, zevi neatzo, you dipped each branch of hyssop independently into the blood, you can still put them together afterwards. And then you bundle together, that's considered a bundle of hyssop, that's fine, that's good. When then they come together, mazavan, you could sprinkle the blood on from them. Rav Chista Amar, no, Kohen Rav Chista would have to be vein shabo misholosh chavilos. Since you have to dip not individual hyssop branches, but rather a bundle, so you can't, each hyssop branch must have been in a bundle of three when you dipped it. So you could have nine branches. And then dip three and three and three. And then untie the branches and take one, one, one and form a new bundle of three. But you can't have taken branches and dipped them individually. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's Rav Chista. And then according to Rabbi Zeira, how daiti to Rabbi Zeira v'chabrosei, v'chabrosei, according to Rabbi Zeira and his chabura, v'shehit v'shloishton ka'achas. No, he can't dip each branch independently, nor even as part of a bundle of three and then reconstitute a new group of three, but rather the bundle in its entirety and in its wholeness must have been dipped into the blood, that same bundle of three. So here again we have this amazing hyperconnection, that the definition of how to make an azo bundle for the purpose of tevila, for the purpose of hazor by tzaraas, is derived from a machlokas by zimun. Okay?
Now, in Pesachim we had a discussion, I don't know if it was machlokas, about you have individual chaburas, whether they...
Right, where they have to see each other, right? Then by chaburas korban beis, a similar law applies to zimun as well. Whether they can be mitzarif or not mitzarif. But we paskin like Rabbi Zeira that they have to all eat together. So the shayla is what's called eating together. But that would not be good like Rav Chista or like I don't know why the one doesn't bring it here. I'm not sure. Maybe it'll be later in the parak. But that's a pretty straightforward connection though, because that's a chabura by Pesach and a chabura here. That's not a wild one like these, right? So now in Tamar. Now the Gemara, the Yerushalmi knows that here we're going to come in 1997 and we're going to be amazed by this, right? So it says Yerushalmi, in Tamar, if you're going to say Ein lemeidim ezo misbracha, you're going to say, hey, come on, how can you can't learn ezo from bracha? What's the connection? What's the other? Says Gemara, no, you are mistaken. I'll prove it to you. V'anan chazinan, we have seen the rabbis, rabbanan. Kaimin b'sukkah, that they're talking about the issue of sukkah, the afinami titanirok, and they learn from from poured mud. And this is even a Bavli. What we're about to say is even a Bavli. So it's almost as if the Yerushalmi is saying, the Babylonians came and they claimed to the Israelis, what are you guys doing? So the Israelis showed and said, I'll show you guys. You guys do the same thing. Well, where is this in the, what is the case? Kai Ditanina, like that which it says Taman over there in Sukkah, Hirchik es Asikuch. If you distance the Schach, Minat Fono, Shloshot Vachim, from you have Schach and there's an interruption between the Schach and the walls of the Sukkah of three Tvachim of airspace. Sula, still good. A pachas began if there's less than three tzvachim of airspace, kshera, it's kosher. Mal lishan tachtov, can you sleep under that open area? Can you sleep under that airspace? Right? You have that airspace between the tzach and the wall. Can you sleep under there? Says the Gemara, Hesiv Rabbi Yitzchak ben El Yoshiv. Rabbi Yitzchak ben El Yoshiv said, no. Well, how so? Hare tit hanirok, mashlim b'mikvah, for tit hanirok is pourable mud. In other words, it's mud, but it could be poured. It's not that viscous that it cannot be poured from one vessel to the other. It's liquefied enough that you can pour it. So the halacha is that tit hanirok mashlim b'mikvah, it'll help make up the shear of 40 sa'ah. If you have a space 35 saw of rainwater and you're missing 5 saw, so the other 5 saw could be this pourable mud that makes up the sheer 40 saw. However, vein matbilimbo, you can't toivel in this mikvah. You can't toivel in this. You can't toivel, not in the mikvah. Can't toivel in the mud. You can't stick your foot into the mud and be yoitze tvila. You have to keep your body or whatever else you're toiveling in the watery part of the mikvah. So to hear apocha mashlim besuka. So to hear the airspace is part and parcel of the sukkah. Veinishayim tachtav. You can't sleep underneath it. So it doesn't since as long as it's less than three tefachim, and therefore doesn't parcel the sukkah. The sukkah is kosher. But just like you can, the mikvah is kosher, but you can't dip your foot into that liquefied mud, so too you can't sleep under the airspace. But I want to apologize. This is not the tushto the Gemara makes in Sukkah. I apologize. The tushto the Gemara makes is a Gemara Ba'avasra, actually. The one place, this I, and my Sefer, Big Day Shesh, I comment on this, because this is the one place I remember offhand where the Bavli does like Yerushalmi, is by Sukkah, but not by this case. The case is a case where you have schach kosher and schach posel, and you mix them together, schach kosher and schach posel, schach kosher and schach posel. And the question is that you have, the halacha is that by schach posel, you're allowed to have up to four tefachim schach posel in a sukkah. By airspace, you're only allowed to have up to three tefachim of airspace. So the Gemara asks, how is this possible? Why is there a difference? Why is schach posel any better than airspace? Airspace, you only allowed to have three tefachim, but by schach posel, you can have up to four tefachim. So the Gemara answers there in Bo'abasa, the last paragraph of Bo'abasa. The Gemara answers that don't be astounded by this, because we see that there's precedent for this. Where is this true? By a shtar. Says by shtar, you're not by get posh, by get mekushar. It's talking about you had a special document they used to write in the old days. We used to fold over the document and sign a witness. Fold, make another fold, and sign another witness, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says there, if you have a blank fold, the get is possible. But if you have a fold on which a relative is signed, even though he's a puzzle aide, it's still kosher. So you see, milu b'kroivim kshera. Even though a korov is possible lehaloid, so it should be no better than an airspace. But we see, no, milu b'kroivim is good. So to fill with something possible is better than leaving it blank. And the Bavli there says the same thing by the schach possible. To have schach possible is better than having airspace, and that's why schach posel is up to four tefachim, and airspace is only up to three tefachim. So that's a case by sukkah where the Bavli does mimic the Yerushalmi, but not this case of the titan irok is specifically a Yerushalmi case. That's not brought down in the Bavli. So in any event, so these are the Gemara is saying, I have a rationale. In essence, what the Yerushalmi is saying is defending its principles of logic. The Yerushalmi is saying I have a precedent. from this case. I'm not sure whether this prayer case is any better case than the benching case or that, the benching to the Basin or the benching to the Azo. But says Yerushalmi, whatever, this is the precedent. There are cases in which we can make connections which transcend the normal parameters of logic which we might be accustomed to and take an abstract concept, whether it be of threes, of bundling, or of hitstarfus, with the case of the titanirok and the schach, and make connections between different areas of Torah using the underlying common thread.
And this is a very, very basic Yerushalmi approach. The Rogatchover is very famous for having done this many times. This is part of his Derech HaLimud. The Rogatchover, a lot of the Polish Lamdonim, such as the Avnei Nezer and Chalkas Yoav, also had a similar approach to this. And this Derech HaLimud is really Yerushalmi Derech HaLimud.
Yes. Yes. Right. Well, where do you want to... But it's considered to be part of the ground. But that's not a... we're really referring here to comparing or contrasting to the... Not comparing contrasting, but rather to connecting. What a concept which is in one Seder of Shas to another Seder of Shas. Not just viewing something in the abstract, but rather taking the abstract concept from Lavud. Generally, it doesn't apply to any place else other than making mechitza. If were we to apply lavud chveis to benching, then that would be a Yerushalmi type connection, right? If we could find somewhere to create lavud benching, that's the hyper connection I'm referring to. Okay? So this is a classic Yerushalmi. This I probably would take if I wanted to give. Not that I know that much Yerushalmi. I only know 50 blot. But if I wanted to give a classic example of Yerushalmi is famous for, so this is the Gemara I would give. Okay, says more further. We're in the third line from the beginning of the wide lines on Nunafun base. Shlosha shachlu kachas, three wait together. Ubige shachlu lelechlo, and one of them wants to leave. So he wants the bench now. This is a very common case. It happens all the time. Three people wait together. One of them has to leave. He wants the bench and leave. So the base rav army yivorach baruch rishon v'yelechlo. He says the first brach, and then he can leave. And if you recall, this is our practice, right? For the person says Rabbi Sanevarech, and they go through the zimun, and then they go through the first brach of benching, listening to the person who's making the zimun, and then he finishes silently, and they can continue with their meal, and he can leave. However, the Yerushalmi asks, what is brach Rishayna? Ezri brach Rishayna. The base Rav Amun, the house of Rav, they said Zubirka Sazimun. It's only up to Baruch Shechal Mishlov Tvochainu. They don't have to remain silent past that. The zimun is defined by the Rabbi Sainavarech to Baruch Shachal Mishalo. That's it. Whereas Rabbi Zira B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiya says, well, we're more accustomed to Zuazon Esakol. Where does the Birkas HaZimun last up to? Azon Esakol. Rabbi Chelbo Barachana B'Shem Rab said, Zuazon Esakol. Also, it's up to Azon Esakol. Hey, see Rab Sheshes. So Rab Sheshes, that's the Kash on Rav. An house of Rav, who said that it's only the up to Baruch Shachal Mishlo Tzolchayinu from Asnisa Palka, the Pliga, the Brisa argues. Brisa says, Shnaim Shlosha, Chayom and Birkas Azimun. It says if you have two or three people, the Brisa here is shorthand, but what the Brisa says, they have two or three people, each of which knows one bracha of benching. They're all Amaratsim. But each one memorized one bracha of benching. So you have two or three people, each one memorized one bracha benching, they bench together. And each one says the bracha he knows and the other one's listening. So what would be three? Hazon. Nodeh. And Rachim. Right? Like Rav, they should have to know a fourth bracha. Which bracha should they have to know? Birchas Hazimun. If you hold like Rabbi Yirmiyah, then the Birchas Hazimun is not a separate bracha from Azon. It's one unit. When you have a Zimun, then Rabbi Sainavarech and Azon as Olam become one bracha. So like him, Taka, three people can say three brachas, and that will constitute all the benching.
But like Rav, that the Birchas Hazimun is a separate bracha, that three are not enough. You need to say four brachas. The Rabbi Sai, and then Azon, and then Nodeh, and then Rache. Right? It's a good kasha. So it says more, again, Shnaim Shloshchem in Birchas Hazimun, Har Bolo. There aren't four. Any Tamar Birchas HaMozimun Nerishroina, it is going to say the Birchas HaZimun. It's the first of the four, brah. It's the first and a separate bracha. Nisnei Arba. Let it say Arba. So there's Gemara. No. Ashkantani Arba. We found another bracha that says four. So that'll be like Rav. Who's the fourth? The fourth is the Birchas HaZimun. In Tamar Zuazona Sakol. Kasha. However, and then here the gears here is a bit choppy. The Gemara says, now that we found the Bryce that says four, if that's the case, it's a kasha on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because Rabbi Yirmiyah holds there are only three, right? Rabbi Yirmiyah, which is the way we paskin holds, there's Rabbi Sai, which includes Azon, and then Nodeh, and then Rachem. So what is Rabbi Yirmiyah going to do with the Bryce, which says four? And that's what he's asking. In Tamar, Zu Azon, is Hakol Kasha. So it says where maybe, oh, so wait a minute. So maybe you want to give a Rabbi Yirmiyah a teretz, you say, nah! Yeah. What's the fourth one? If you were Rabbi Yirmiyah, what would you answer? Not Nevi'im as part of Rachim, but rather. No, the next one. Hatova Meitiv. Hatova Meitiv is the fourth bracha. So as the Gemara say, maybe you want to answer according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, that what are the four? Rabbi Yisai plus Azon is one. No Dez two. Rachim is three. Miko Tuv Lolomayi Chasreino, that old bracha, Hatova Meitiv is four. So that's what Gemara says. That's not a good answer. There's my Tamar Zu Hatova Meitiv Leisad Yochol Shan Yoi. You can't answer that. Why? Because of what Dr. Spadel said. Dom Ravuna Mishnah Semishanit Nu Aruge Beitzar Likvura Nigva Hatova Meitiv. That bracha of Hatova Meitiv is a later bracha. This brisa is an early brisa. It wouldn't be referring to Hatova Meitiv. Hatova Meitiv is a much later bracha. I don't know how we know this price is an early brisa, but somehow we know this price is an earlier brisa, and therefore it couldn't be that the fourth one is referring to Hatova Meitiv, because that only came out much later when they made Aruge Beit, after the Bar Kokhba War, many years after the Bar Kokhba War, when they were able to then bury the dead people from Beitar, that's when they made this bracha. Nishnidu Aruge Beit Sakvunik Hatova Meitiv. Hatov. What is Hatov? Hashem is good. Shlo nisuchu, that the dead bodies didn't start smelling bad. Vameitiv, and God did good. Shenidu likvura. So what are you going to do according to Rabbi Yirmiyah with that fourth bracha? So I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Tipater Rabbi Shmuel. I'll tell you how to answer up. Answer up like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel lama. Rabbi Shmuel says, Hatov Vameitiv Dvar Torah. Hatov HaMeitiv is a bracha d'oraisa. We really paskin and certainly that it's the rabbanon. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's the fourth bracha is d'oraisa, and the four mentioned in the brisa which had the kirsa of four is learning that the fourth bracha is d'oraisa, so therefore it existed previously. Not according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, because Rabbi Yirmiyah said explicitly that they are considered to be one unit bracha, not two separate ones. No. The chiv of the bracha would be the raisa, not the form. The form of no brachas is the form of the bracha. If we would say it's the raisa, would be Shem Hashem, Melech Olam, and the theme of the bracha. The actual words would not be the raisa. In any event, but let's see. How do we learn a bracha the raisa? So it says the Gemara. The rest of the sugya now will deal with that. So this is more. The Siv, I don't know, there are four brachas to rice, according to Rabbi Shmuel. It says, V'chalto v'savato v'rachto. That's three, right? Zubirkas has I'm sorry, that's not three. V'chaltem zavot yishehidin yishabit seishehid u'beirachta, that's one. Zubirkas ha-zimun, that's to make the zimun. Es Hashem alokecha ze'azon ha-sako, that's the first bracha. Alohet zubirkas art, that's no there. Atoifa, the good, zubirkas bonei Yerushalayim, that's the bonei Yerushalayim. As it said, we know that the Hatoiva refers to Yerushalayim, because it calls Yerushalayim our Hatoiva Zeva Levonon. This good mountain, the Levonon. And then it says, Asher Nosan Lecha, V'rach L'shem Okech L'oretz HaTova Asher Nosan Loch, Ze Hatoiva Meitim, that's the fourth bracha. Okay, fine. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that there's a fourth bracha. Now, let's make a period here. It says in the Torah, bracha lefoneo. Made the same mistake when I was praying today. Kosov, it says, by Torah, by learning Torah, bracha lefoneo. It says a bracha beforehand. Now, here, as the Gilin Ashas points out, the Yushami holds that birchas Torah is the raisa. Most posts hold birchas Torah is the raisa. The only bracha which is the raisa is birchas haTorah. The only two brachas are the raisa, as Yerushalayim points out, are birchas haTorah and birchas haMazon. Okay, how many of the brachas of birchas haMazon and the raisa? Either three or four. That's what Avraham says of Beirachto explicitly. The other bracha which is the raisa is birchas haTorah. In fact, the Ramban counts birchas haTorah as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't. The Ramban glosses, he's masi. And the Ramban, he complains against the Rambam. The Rambam did not count it. Because here it seems quite clear it's the Raisa. It says, B'Torah, Kasa B'Torah, Bracha L'Faneh. It says, before you learn Torah, you have to make a Bracha. Then Kasa B'Torah, doesn't say by learning Torah, Bracha L'Achre, they have to make a Bracha afterwards. Maxibo, where do we see it by Torah L'Faneh? That you have to make a bracha before. It says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when the name of God I shall call, Havu Goda Lelokeinu, give praise to God. So Kishem Hashem Ekra is when I engage in the act of learning Torah. Havu Goda Lelokeinu, give praise to God, that's the bracha birchas haTorah. Whenever you learn Torah, you have to make a birchas haTorah. Ksiv b'mazon, it says by benching, on the other end, bracha la'achrav. Midoraisa, you have to make a bracha after you eat. V'enksi lefonav, there is no bracha before eating bread. Maksi v'achrav, where did it say you have to make a bracha after you eat? It says, v'chalta v'savata v'erachta. Eat, be satiated, and bench. So that's afterwards. Minayim litenis omer b'zeh b'zeh. How do we know that you learn out from benching, from Birkas HaTorah to benching, V'esa Omer B'zeh B'zeh, and from benching to Birkas HaTorah. That, just like by Birkas HaTorah you make a bracha beforehand, so too by eating you make a bracha beforehand. And just like by benching you make a bracha afterwards, so too by learning Torah you make a bracha afterwards. Now, this sounds like it's a deraisa, which is very... because Ba'amot is not the Raisa. So perhaps we can understand why it's not the Raisa, because of the nature of how we learn it out. Take a look at that. Each way of learning it out is a weak way. Shmuel Nachmanim Shem Rianson says, As your shame, L'Gzeres Shoshava. We use the word shame for Gzeres Shoshava. The problem is, as the Haredim points out, it doesn't say the word shame by benching. Oh, it says it by Birchas HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra, but it doesn't say by benching. So the Chareinim goes to Navi. It says in the Navi, it says somewhere, not from Navi. He says, it says by in the Parsha Birchas HaMazon, says, L'shaken Shemo Shom. The Chareinim, in the last line, the Chareinim means L'shaken Shemo Shom. So Shom means there. Shame means name. But Shom, Shame, the same letters. Right? Kriyak Siv, right. So Shalvat Shev is sufficiently similar to make Zeres HaKosim.
Why do I have to resort to shame? What about just Hashem's name?
So the Mashbiach says that the Gzeres Shav is based on the shame, the actual name of God.
Yeah.
It says the shame of Hashem, ki shame Hashem Ekra, and it says Veirachtas Hashem Elokecha. But it says the Mashbiach, there's never any Gzeres Shav that anywhere else in Shas. No other Gzeres Shav made based on Hashem's name. This would be unique. So that's why I would theorize that this is not a true Gzeres Shav. Either way, it's not a true Gzeres Shav. It's an Asmachta Gzeres Shav. Either because it's Shem Shom, which is very difficult, or it's the Shem Hashem and Shem Hashem, and that's not true Gzeres Shav. Because if it was a true Gzeres Shav, then everything in the Torah is linked to everything else, which might be true according to Rishalmi, but it doesn't make for good drushes. So therefore, I would say this is only an asmachta of the Rabbanan, not a bona fide, you know, extrapolation. Okay?
Somewhere, I have no clue where they mention Zeres Shav.
It could be. But I want to point out that the Pnei Yehoshua, at the beginning of Ketzer Mevorchin, does say that according to the Svara, the Bavli uses there, which is that anybody who's Nana from Olam Hazeh below Bracha Kilu Moal, so he says Brachos Doraisa. It says according to that logic, Brachos Doraisa, because if you eat before you make the Bracha, you're stealing. What? There are enough drushes of that sort over there. The Pnei Yehoshua advances for that it is the Raisa.
Talking to our kids in school.
Right. The question is, the question is if you could take the Pnei Yehoshua literally enough to make this Yerushalmi literal as well. In other words, that intact according to that Svara, so Baruch Rishon also becomes the Raisa. I'm not sure. I'm just proposing that if you did want to take the Zeres Shav literally as being Zeres Shav the Raisa, then you could base on Pnei Yehoshua and say that it's the Raisa because here you have to make it's the Raisa because of that Svara of Kilum Mo. All right. In any event, says more further. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai says Shem Reinason. Atz Shem Shem Zeres Shav. My shame shenemar b'torah implies bracha lefonav. I've shame shenemar birkas amazon. B'mazon bracha lefonav implies a bracha before it, and vice versa. My shame turning to amud base now. My shame shenemar b'mazon bracha lachrav. Just like the shame it says by benching is the bracha implies a bracha subsequent. I've shame shenemar b'torah. So to the shame it says by torah is b'lachrav. Ad kidun Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha, this Gzeres Shav. Rabbi Shmuel. There's another drasha like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yom Shem Rabbi Shmuel says a kava chomer. Now this is not a good kava chomer, you'll see. The kava because he makes it work both ways. Umayim mazon shein tom bracha lefara. Birkas by benching, you don't have to make a bracha before it. Nonetheless, tom bracha la'acharav, you have to make a bracha afterwards. Torah shituna bracha lefaneh, Torah which requires a bracha beforehand. Eino din shetei bracha tuna bracha lachra. It's not a kavah chomer that requires bracha afterwards. What's the kavah? What's the chomer? Right. Not only that, he does it the other way. Ad kedun Torah. That works in one direction. From extrapolating from Mazon to Torah. Mazon ma. What about extrapolating from Torah to Mazon? So you make the kavah chomer in the other direction as well. In Torah, ain't a tuna bracha lachra. Torah, which doesn't require a bracha after you learn it. Tuna bracha fanat does require a bracha before, and mozon, shaton, bracha lachra, birkas hamozon, which does require a bracha afterwards. Ain't odin shaton, bracha fanat, it's not kavachom, requires a bracha beforehand. So any reversible kavachomer ain't no kavachomer. Because that means that neither one is kavla, neither one is chomer, and you can't learn from the more severe to the less severe, and vice versa. No, it's not a hekish. That's what I'm saying. It seems like this kavla chomer is just like a smachta, right? It's not a bona fide kavla chomer. Hekish would be if they were written in the same area. They were linked together, like we had this morning in the Babli.
that we have linkage between says Rachatusham Maser the Gancha the Karos be Karcha v'Tzonecha. So the same pasuk brings out the Eden Yerushalayim Maser Sheni and Bechor. That's a Hekish. The two are not linked by logic nor by any words, but rather nor by any, you know, Gzeir Shava type words, but rather by their juxtaposition in the pasuk. Right, they're located in the same area. That doesn't apply here. Okay. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Nosson had another way of learning. Rabbi Yitzchak says, how do we know that you make a bracha before you eat? Because it says by Shmuel that when he came to eat, it says when Shaul was looking for Shmuel, so Shaul was told, you find Shmuel in a certain location, and they're going to be waiting for him because he has to make the bracha on the eating before everybody else eats. So it's true that's about korbanos, it's not necessarily comparable. But lemaisa we see there that you make a bracha before you eat, and only then do you eat. Rabbi Nosson, I remember nothing says, it says, how do you know you make a bracha before you eat? Because it says, Hashem Elokeichem, you should worship God your Lord, will be rachis lachmecha, and he will bless your bread, v'esmeimecha, and your waters. Emos ayukori lachmecha, when is it called your bread and your waters? In other words, that you still possess it before you've eaten it. It's not once you've eaten it, it's, you ain't got no bread, you ain't got no water. You have something inside your stomach. So it says here you have to make a bracha ad shaloch emosaykori lachmecha v'esmeimecha ad shaloch alta. Before you ate, it says here v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. So that must be that there's a bracha to make even before you eat. And from here we're learning Baruch Hashem, it sounds like the Yerushalmi is trying to make it some way, trying to learn from Tanakh Baruch Hashem. In any event, Rebbe Omer, Mayim B'Shoa, Rebbe wants to say another logic to be Mechayiv Baruch Hashem. Mayim B'Shoa Sha'ocha V'Sava, if when you ate and are satiated, Tzarech L'Varech, you gotta thank God, B'Shoa Sh'Toev, Toev Lecho, when you're yearning to eat, when you're hungry, you got to ask God for the food, right? You have to certainly bless God because he provided you with the food. So therefore, he's providing the food. In other words, it's certainly, if you have to thank God, you certainly have to supplicate God beforehand.
So that's an internal kavachomer.
Yeah, but it's again, I don't think that gives the power of a doraisa. Because the Torah might have said, make a bracha afterwards, because after you ate, so make the bracha, because now you're thanking God. But to make a bracha beforehand, maybe that's not one of the Torah's parameters. It's Rebbe's extrinsic svara to say, if you got to bless, you should have to supplicate as well. The Torah never said that explicitly. Okay. Akadu Muslim, that's all talking about eating. Torah Ma, what about by Torah? So, why should you have to make a bracha after Torah? Says the Gemara, imazon she'ena l'chai yishua. If eating, which is only temporal consumption, don't bracha l'fon of achra, requires bracha before and afterwards, Torah she'chai ator, which is eternal life, l'koshke is not a kavachom, it requires a bracha even afterwards. Rabbi Zir, now, what's the bracha afterwards? Where by Torah do you find a bracha afterwards? By somebody gets an aliyah. V'chai ulam nota b'sochein. Shernasan Torah asmes chai ulam nota b'socheinu. That's a bracha achra by Torah. What the Rishon is going to say, we don't have it by individuals, only by the tzibur. That we're going to see explicitly in a couple of minutes. Right? What time is it, by the way? Okay. Rabbi Zira Boy, we'll try and get to the Mishnah. Rabbi Zira Boy, now based on this link between benching and between Zimun, so Rabbi Zira asked the following question. And this is, again, somewhat of a hyper connection. But this is legitimatized already by the previous Gemara. Boy, Elan, he asked, Boy, Elan shows Krills, those people who get the three aliyahs. The three aliyahs weekday landing. Ma tovid lo. How do you regard them? B'shloisha she'ochlu ka'achas. Do you look at them as three people who ate together, as a zimun? Or b'shloisha she'ochlu zevif ne'atzbo, zevif ne'atzbo, zevif ne'atzbo? Or three people who ate separately? What's the nafkamina?
first bracha. The
right.
First person says in the third person.
Exactly. You got it. If you're going to make them like three, you make a zimun, i.e. the connection between benching and Torah is so complete that the three of aliyahs are the three of a zimun. So just like by a zimun, Arisha Mivarech, one guy makes the broker make the bracha for all three. So it's here, Arisha Mivarech Bracha Rishoina. The first person gets aliyah makes the first bracha. For Achron, the last person gets aliyah makes the bracha. Achron makes the last bracha. For Imtsoyeh and Mivarech Kolikar, the middle guy doesn't have to make a bracha at all, because he only needs one set of brachas for all three. Just like by Zimun, one person demotes you all three. However, in Tavdino Kishlosha Shaochlu Zevni Atzlo, you don't look at them as an absolute unit, but rather as separate in the entities. It's not a complete connection to benching. Then even the middle guy has to make a bracha before and after, which is in fact the way we pass it. Okay? No. It was only a one-way connection. In other words, by Zimun we know with certainty one person's motzi everybody. The shaila is whether laning is like Zimun in that respect, and I would say it's not. Well, the truth is, in the old days, there was a custom in certain places. I think I remember pretty clearly from the Bavli that Taka, they only made one bracha at the beginning, one bracha at the end. I think the Mara Megillah says that. But here, they'll be based on this issue of how we link it up to Zimun. You should know that the connection between Birchas Torah and Birchas Azimun follows through to this extent at least. That just like by that which you make a bracha la'acharav by learning Torah is only by learning Torah barabim. In other words, a yachid, if you learn Torah, you just make a bracha la'fanav. The last of believer in Sarah and Sherbo Harbono in the morning. We don't make a bracha l'achrov. So it's by learning, we only make a bracha l'achrov in laning, which is barabim, right? Then we say, chayelom nata besochedo, but not by yachid.
Maybe don't make an achrov because you will be learning all day long, so you don't know when you go.
What?
You wouldn't make a bracha achrov because you don't know when you're going to stop learning. You might be learning
all day. You could have said such a swear, but the Gemara doesn't. Gemara says that it's specifically, it's just like by Zimun. You need to have a quorum, so too by learning when you make a bracha achrona, only when you have a quorum. Says Gemara, v'im l'rabim, if it's for rabim, if that's the case, if it's only made for rabim, so then even if you what the Yerushalmi really means to ask, although I don't know exactly how it fits in the gear, so need a little bit of a sledgehammer, but the kash is, if that's the case, never make even a bracha rishoina by learning. Why do you make a bracha rishoina if you carry over the connection between Zimun and Birnster to such a great extent? How can you make a bracha lifonea by Yochid? We know, okay, we don't make a bracha choina by Yochid, but we do make a bracha Rishoina. So it's more Rabbi Mori, Achoid Rabbi Yesi, Asu Kishar Komitsu Sel Shotero. You're right. Yeah. Okay. We're on Mem Chesma Beis at the Mishnah. Hayu Yoshmin. Hayu Yoshmin Kol Echad Ve'Echad. If they were sitting and every individual was sitting by himself, Mivarech La'atzmo, then each person makes his own bracha for bracha Rishona, because they're not a group. They save, however, if they're reclining, which means that they're making a common meal, then each one makes a bracha, one person makes a bracha for all of them. If they get wine within the meal, Kol echon mevarech la'atzmo, each one makes a bracha for himself. La'achar ha'mazon, why be, and the Gemara is going to explain that the reason why this is so, why does it, if they're already reclining the meal, why don't they all, why doesn't one person make a bracha for all of them? So the Gemara is going to explain that the reason for this is because it's a sakana. Because if each person has to listen to the other guy who's making a bracha and answer amen, so he might choke while he's eating. So it's dangerous. That's why each person make a bracha by himself. However, la'achar ha'mazon, if the wine comes after the meal, then echom and baruch hu, one person makes a bracha for all of them. Va'omer ala mugmar, and you make a bracha on the one individual makes a bracha on the mugmar. Mugmar was they had a custom after the meal was over to have a certain spice for incense, which they used to burn as kind of like after dinner treat. And one person would make the bracha on the spices, on the smell, to be mighty everybody else. Even though it's ready after the meal is over, it's considered to be sufficiently part of the suda that one person can make a bracha to be motzi everybody else. They're all considered to be included in this effort. Rabbi Shuv Levi said, "Bishavua beinu mas nisa." When is this true? In order for one to be motzi others, everybody has to recline in a thing like a shavua bein, which is a shom zocher. In other words, it's not a true meal where the Baal Bus is sitting with them, but rather people are sitting around the table and the Baal Bus is serving. So then the lack of the presence of the Baal Bus indicates that unless they're reclining, they're not all part and parcel of the same meal. That's the one interpretation of this line, but it's a very difficult interpretation. The Mashbiach points out that who cares? It shouldn't have anything to do whether it's a Shom Zach or any other type of meal. It should have to do with whether the Baal Bus is present or not. So he says that really there was a Rashi Tevis here. And the Rashi Tevis was Beis Shin Beis Ayin Hey Beis. And there were two strikes, quotation marks, which came out to be the Vav and the Nun. So, and really the original Rashi Tevis Beis Shin Beis Ayin Hey Beis means Bishop Bala Bais. In other words, when the Baal Bais wasn't there, should be Bishop Baal Bais, in other words, when the Baal Bais wasn't there, then you need them to recline. If they don't recline, then it's not considered to be a kvius. Let me just make sure that that's where he has the Rosh Hashanah. He says, it was, Beishin Beis Hay, he had the Russian tables was Beishin Beis Ayin Hay Beis. And it stood for Bishain Baal Habais. Bishain Baal Habais. So there, when the Baal Habais is not present, so then they all have to recline together in order to be considered part and parcel of one meal. However, says the Gemara, again, Rabbi Shimon Levi Omer acquainted this. Ein Baal Habais imas nisa. Our mission is when the Baal Habais is not present. Or Baal Habais besoch beis, but the Baal Habais is present. Lo, you don't need reclining. The Baal Habais' presence, by definition, means that everybody is part and parcel of the same bundle, and therefore one person can make the bracha, preferably the Baal Habais, for everybody else. Tani, we learned, Rabbi Chia argues, and he says, Afilu Baal Habais besoch beiso. Even the Baal Habais is present, in order for them all to be yotzei together with one bracha, they all must be reclining at the same table. So we really don't have such a concept nowadays. We don't recline. But we all have, that's why we have this custom. Many people have the custom to sit during Kiddush and sit during Havdalah, as you know, right? Some people sit only during Kiddush, some people during both. But the sitting is a vestige of the minhag of reclining together. Otherwise, we should stand for Kiddush or Havdalah, because it's derech kavod to stand. But the reason why there's such a prevalent minhag, specifically minhag agra, to sit both for Kiddush and for Havdalah, is in order to fulfill this reclining, at least the substitute for that reclining, so that everybody can be yotze with the bracha being made by the person who's making Kiddush. Okay? Says Gemara, we learned Tani. Seder Suda, how do you run a meal? A meal for many people. Orchi nichnasim, the guests come in. V'yeshin al safsalim, they sit on the benches. V'akadred katriyos on easy chairs. Achkulam iskatz until everybody comes. In other words, everybody gathers together. Hevilem yain. When you bring them wine, kol echad echad mivarech latzmo. Each every person brings and makes a bracha for himself because this is still a smorgasbord. They're not yet fully reclining. They're sitting on benches. They're sitting on chairs. So this is not yet considered to be a gathering together. So each person makes their own bracha. Evilem liyadayim. Now, in order to properly make a bar pri hagafen, they had a minhag in the old days, we don't really have it anymore, that before they would make the bracha, they would bring water to wash, and kol ha'vechad noit echad ve'echad noitel yodo achas. Everybody would wash one of their hands. Which hand would they wash? The one hand which would hold the wine. So their washing would be in honor of the kosher bracha which they had. Hevil and parperis. This is still in the smorgasbord stage. They're prior to the actual. Actual meal. Hevil and parperis. Want to sit in? Hevil and parperis. They brought him an appetizer. Kol echav echav mevarech latzmo. Everybody make a bracha on the appetizer by themselves, because it's still by the smorgasbord. Now, alu ve'sevu. Once they went to the main area, I guess the main dining room, and they reclined, evilem yain, then they would bring them wine. Ava bishabir chal arishon. Even though they made a bracha already on the first wine which was brought, now they have to make a new bracha on the wine. Why have to make a new bracha? Because this is a different kvius. Now, they're in a different situation now. Before, it was before the meal, and now it's during the meal. This is a separate occasion, so to speak, of drinking the wine, and therefore they have to make a new bracha. Now, Pnei Moshe says that there is a certain concept of yayin lifnei hamazon when you have it before the meal, when it potters up the wine during the meal. And that's really here, because here they haven't washed yet. Since they haven't washed yet, so therefore it's really, technically speaking, wine shalifnei hamazon, right? But it's wine which is in the place. They're in the area where they're going to eat the meal. So that's why this wine requires a new bracha, because it's the after the smorgasbord wine. It's the wine which comes after they've stopped milling around and having their cocktail party. And now they're covering themselves in this one spot. So this is the wine which is the real wine, lifnei hamazon. The wine before which they had, where they were milling around and having their cocktail party, we could call, I don't know, yain shalifnei lifnei hamazon. This is the yain shalifnei hamazon. Here they're together, they're reclined together. One person makes a bracha for all of them. For the first wine? Probably. Although the Gemara doesn't discuss it, you're right, it probably wouldn't be a bracha.
Because the Gemara assumes that maybe the
since there's a havmina that it should potter, so maybe you don't have to make a bracha achrona for the first wine. It's a good question. Here the Gemara really doesn't tell us.
Why don't we make a bracha achrona for the other kosher?
Well, those are all in the same place. Those are all in the same place. Adrabba, the question is why we make more brachas than the Sephardim, you know, only make two brachas altogether. They don't make any additional brachas on the wine. They make only one bracha before at the beginning by Kiddush, and another bracha at the end by benching. But they don't make a bracha on the second coast or on the fourth coast, because it's all the same place. Why would you make another bracha? So I'm not sure though. I'm going to retract what I said before and say now that my hunch is that you're correct, that in this case you wouldn't make a bracha achrona, because although shinui makom requires new bracha rishona. When you move from place to place, or from kfiyas to kfiyas, it requires new bracha rishayna. I don't think it requires new bracha achrona. So I'm pretty sure that you're correct. You don't make a new bracha achrona. You don't make says me don't make a bracha and then continue, rather you make a new bracha rishona and make one bracha the bracha at the end for everything. This is a general principle. Whenever you change places, you're eating. You have a problem with that? What's the problem?
Yeah,
benching has to be bimkomo, but any other bracha achrona can be where you finish eating. So therefore, in that case, even benching, the truth is, if you go, but the evidence, you have to go back to where you originally were. You can bench where you find yourself. So machlokas beishamay beisila. I think we're going to have it later in the Masechta. I don't want to say because I don't remember. But certainly, but
go and daven and come back.
Yeah, but this we're going to see what happens later on. If you moved before benching, what happens later on? But here, I think you're right. I think bracha achrona, you'd only have to make the one bracha achrona at the end of. I don't know. I don't want to take responsibility because I don't know for sure.
This is similar, but with respect to the Pesach,
yeah, but that's, I think that's what Moshe was asking. There really, it's not the same thing. There, it's not a chiddush that you only make one bracha achrona because you're in one spot the whole time. So therefore, yes, you would make only one bracha achrona. But let's say you had a smorgasbord in one room, and then you moved to another room. So we had earlier in the Masechta, you do make a bracha achrona in that case. No, I don't remember the Shita Yusha. We had earlier in the Masechta, in case of Mevorchin.
You can't go outside the house.
What?
Let's say you made something. Let's say you made cake. Oh,
yeah.
And then you can't go outside the room.
Right, but here.
You have to make the bracha there, finish it off.
But here you had das to go somewhere else. You know, why don't you get me from behind you, please? Mr. Baruch Chelik Beis. Where are they? I think they're down there.
Yeah. Finish it off from there.
Incorrect ways. Yeah, but it seems like we're going from one room to another
just not going from a bench onto the floor.
It's not clear. You're right. That was just my hunch, but it could be I'm incorrect about that. I can see the point. Yeah, we had from one room to another.
Yeah, we did.
We had Summer and Kate and Mevorchim also.
If you gave it to the immature children's
the same charedim calls it a shirimakom.
He calls it shirimakom.
From that, you can make the further limu that's specifically by children the issue of.
He here brings down all these halachas in the Mishnah, in the Shulchan Aruch. Simakuf Memdal, but I don't see he speaks about bracha achrona.
I think he has to go there and then should do what I think.
Yeah.
He has to do it in one room and then start all over. And if you're going to eat again.
If you go into another room, you have to make another. But that's you saying, you have to make a bracha achrona.
Yeah, that's what I think. You had this on Shabbat, you know. If you're reading on Shabbat,
all right. I don't.
Started, like in the attic, and then
yeah.
You went down.
Well, I understand, right? I just don't know. I don't remember for sure, so I don't want to say for sure. All right, let's go on for now. I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
You said it in
another
the
time.
You said it in the attic, and then you came down to the dining room. So then you do it.
Right, that's the question whether bracha achrona. All right, but let's go on for now. Says Gemara, ve'echa mevarech haidei kula. So one of them makes a bracha. When they sit down to drink wine, one makes a bracha for all of them. If you lend me a dime, now they're beginning to wash before eating bread. Even though previously you washed one hand, now you have to wash both hands. If you open up parperes, now they bring a new appetizer before you. One person moti everybody. If somebody's running late. So in the old days they used to give three appetizers. A guest can no longer come after the third appetizer. Why? Because it's embarrassing to the Baal HaBos. After he's served the third appetizer, if a guest comes in and he has nobody else, then he has no appetizers to give him anymore. So he can't come in anymore. Now, Talmud Tanina, we learned over there, Sukkah Shiva. The Sukkah, you have to sit in for 7 days. Ketzad, how so? Gomar milecho, once you finish eating in your sukkah on the seventh day, lo yat your sukkah, so you shouldn't take down your sukkah. You take down your kelim, in other words, you take down the implements and utensils and vessels which you use and bring them into the house. Vishul covered yontav achron for shmini in honor of shmini atzeres. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi both said in Shem Rav in the name of Rav, Tzorich Adam, what if a person wants to eat in his sukkah? So Tzorich on Shmini Atzeres. Tzorich Adam leaves so sukkah mi bad yom. He has to ruin his sukkah from before Shmini Atzeres begins in order to be able to sit in Shmini Atzeres, because otherwise, in Eretz Yisrael, if you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, it's Baal Toysif. You're adding on improperly to the days of Sukkot. You're not allowed to sit in the Sukkot Shmini Atzeres in Israel. So therefore, since that's the case, you have to parcel your Sukkot from before Sukkot begins. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar. What? No. Well, he was. He was a Talmud. He was a Talmud by Rabbi Anasi earlier in life. But you're right. He was in Bavel later. He's passing the halacha for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Tzorich Adam leaves us because me odiyom. Rabbi Shum and Levi Amar Tzorich leKadosh b'soch peso. Rabbi Shum and Levi says you have to make kiddush inside your house. That's an interesting issue. What's going on here? We're going to.
You can have a kiddush in the synagogue.
So that's where we're going to come. That's what we're discussing. Good. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha b'shem Shmuel said kiddush b'vayze. If you make kiddush in house number one. You know, I don't want to eat here. I want to eat in house number two. Tzarech l'kaddish, you have to make a new kiddush. Now, according to Rav, that's not true. Rav says you can be mekaddish in your house. Rav Shuvan Levi, who is also, although the one didn't say it outright, he was saying the name of Rav. He's saying you can be mekaddish in your house and go out and sit in your sukkah, which is now possible, because you postulated it from Erev Yontif, and eat there. It's okay. According to Shmuel, it's not okay. According to Shmuel, if you make kiddush somewhere, you must eat there. If you don't eat there, if you decide to change your mind and go somewhere else, you must make kiddush in the new location. Okay? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Achon, Rabbi Chayin, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shua said, Mi shesukos ha'areva olav, somebody who likes the sukkah, it's a nice, pleasant place. Mikadosh le yontav achon b'soch beso, he makes kiddush in his house, and then he goes in and eats inside his sukkah. So clearly, they hold, like Rav said previously, that you can make kiddush in your house and then eat in the sukkah, and that's not a problem of kiddush shaloba makom suda, of not making kiddush in the right place. Rabbi Avu, and Rabbi Avu says, you know what, v'lo pligi. There's no machlokas here. Madamar Rav, that which Rav said, that. That which Rav said, you can make a kiddush in the house and then eat in the sukkah. He didn't have in mind to eat in the house. He had in mind to eat in the sukkah. So he had in mind to make kiddush in the house and even the sukkah. If that's l'chadchila his das, he's fine. What Shmuel said is, when you had a mind to eat in that other house, in other words, you originally had a mind to eat inside. Then he changed your mind and wanted to eat in the sukkah. Oh, in that case, you can't do that unless you make kiddush again in the sukkah. So really what it boils down to is a matter of intent, where you intended to make kiddush here and eat there, and to make it one continuous meal, then that's okay. We do not have that intent to begin with. Rather, you thought you were going to eat here and then change your mind later to eat there, you have to make kiddush there again. Okay? So, yes.
Somewhat tangential. The concept of kiddush from a suah, everyone who goes to the Shabbos on Shabbos.
Well, the first time you kaveh suah on Shabbos. No, you're asking whether if a person makes kiddush in shul, when he gets home, is it proper to make kiddush again? The answer is yes, but it's not mikra din. It's not required, but rather it's a chumrah because this is the first meal you're having on bread. So therefore, you have to make kiddush mokum suah. If I recall correctly, it's not mandatory. It's a hiddur mitzvah, and it's not, you don't lose anything because you don't make any bracha other than a bari priya gofen. So why not? Rabbi Mana said, "Asi the Shmuel." That what Shmuel said. You can't, if you make kiddush here and then you slide it there, you have to make kiddush there again. It's Rabbi Chia. If you take a look back on Omer Aleph, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yeshua. Now, it doesn't say Rabbi Yeshua here. It says Rabbi Yoshua. If you take a look here in the third line from the bottom, it says, So that works according to Shmuel. In other words, where Shmuel had him, even according to Shmuel, you can do that if you had a mind to eat in your sukkah, so it's okay to make kiddush in the house and continue in the sukkah. So it's going, Shmuel is going like Rabbi Chia. Oh no, I'm sorry. I apologize. Whoops. Sorry. Rabbi Shmuel is going like Rabbi Chia Barashi. You take a look back in the fourth, the fifth and last narrow line. Amem Tesamav, you see, Rabbi Chia Barashi B'Shem Rav said, Tzor Chodom Livsel Sukkos Mi Bod Yom. In other words, if you want to eat in your sukkah, you got to make kiddush in your sukkah. And if you want to make kiddush in your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you can't make the kiddush in the sukkah k'shera. So therefore, that which Rabbi Chia Barashi said, name of Rav, Tzorech Adam Lifso Sukkoso. You know why he said that? Because he holds like the Pshat and Shmuel that you're not allowed to make kiddush here and eat there, and therefore you must make kiddush in your sukkah. Oh, but it's Shmini Atzeres. You're not allowed to make kiddush in your sukkah. So what's the only way you can make kiddush in your sukkah, Shmini Atzeres? If before Shmini Atzeres you passed your sukkah, you made it possible in some way, shape, or form. That's Shmuel, the original Pshat and Shmuel, before we said Lo Plige, the original Pshat and Shmuel, that you must make kiddush where you're going to eat, goes like Rabbi Chia Barashi. Now, that which Rabbi Yoshua says, and this is Rabbi Yoshua, even Rabbi Yoshua said that you're allowed to make kiddush in your house and then go eat in the sukkah, so that's going like Rav. Like our original Pshat and Rav. What was our original Pshat and Rav? Original Pshat and Rav is that Rav is the one who allows you to make kiddush in one place and eat in another place. So like that, you don't have to pass through your sukkah from before Yom Tov. What you do is, instead, in order to avoid Baal Tosif, is that you do the ritualistic part of your meal, meaning the kiddush inside your house. And then you finish your meal in the sukkah, which is a pleasant place to eat. So now, according to the Pshat, we said that Lo Pligi, there's no Machlokas. So then, you can do whatever you want, basically. You make Kiddush wherever you want, as long as you had a mind to eat somewhere else. But according to the Pshat, that they do argue, that according to Shmuel, you must make Kiddush for eating. According to Rav, you can make Kiddush one place and eat in another place. So if that's the case, according to Rav, you can avoid the problem about toys if by eating in your house and then finish it by making kiddush in your house and then eating in the sukkah, even though the sukkah is still kosher. According to Shmuel, you can't do that.
So therefore, you must make Kiddush in the Sukkah. You want to make Kiddush in the Sukkah. How do you have to do that? How do you do that? First, you have to make sure your Sukkah is possible, so you're not sitting in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. I'm Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says... What?
I never heard of it.
No, because the Chutzlars, we sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. That's why I never heard of it.
What we do is we make the Kiddush Shmini Atzeres in the Sukkah.
That's only one minhag. No, there are many minhagim. But the minhag which comes out of the Gemara in Sukkah, which seems to be the most proper, is in Chutzlars to eat all the meals in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. Okay? Chassidim have different minhagim. There are various different minhagim, but that's the minhag seems for the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami says Zosamer Shenichlokim Beperos. Rabbi Yami. Now, it's very difficult how to explain this wine. The Aruch HaShulchan in his Perush on the Yerushalmi says that the same machlokus applies by fruit. But it's quite arrived. You can make a bracha on fruit here and continue eating it there, like let's say candy. Going to arrive, you can start eating here and continue eating wherever you want. Oh, candy's bags, it's in your mouth the whole time. But if you made a bracha on a cup of coffee here, then you can have a cup of coffee somewhere else, you have to make a new bracha. As long as you had das. That's not called shinui makom. Shinui makom, according to Rav, is only if you didn't have das to continue somewhere else. According to Shmuel, no. According to Shmuel, by Paris as well. If you made a bracha here, and a cup of coffee, and then you go somewhere else, according to Shmuel, you have to make a new bracha. Why? Because that's Shinui Makom. So according to Shmurab, das helps. You only need one bracha. According to Shmuel, das does not help. And therefore, wherever you go, you have to make a new bracha on the food which you consume in that location. Okay? Says Marshalus Ben Zoyma. They asked Ben Zoyma, name my bowl and yahim sochah mozon. Kol echav echav mevorech lanzo. Sarah Mishnah, when wine comes them in the middle of the meal, each one of them makes their own bracha. Why is that? Or Melani said, b'nei shem b'esabli aponoi. Because not everybody's throat is open at that moment to answer amen. So if you have to answer amen to somebody else's bracha in the middle of the meal, we're afraid that you're going to choke. Amar Rabbi Mana, Rabbi Mana said, Adam Raz teaches us a very well-known halacha. Ahein the atish ko mechla. If somebody sneezes in the middle of a meal, also lemei mar yes. Now I have to say gesundheit. Yes is some distortion word asusa, which means health. So now I have to say gesundheit in the middle of the meal. Why is that? So the Mepharshim say, not because the guy is saying gesundheit, he knows when to say gesundheit, when his mouth is clear or not, right? When his throat is clear. But if you say gesundheit to somebody who just sneezed, he feels obligated to say thank you. So therefore, he might say thank you in the middle of a bite, and he might therefore come to a sakana and again choke himself. Okay? Says Mara. Again, why is that? Begin sakata nafsha because it's sakonis tefashos. Voimral muk. After the meal, they used to make a bracha on these fresh incense, and one guy used to make a bracha for everybody else. Ma bin mugmar ben yayin. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference between the mugmar and between the wine? So the kasha is that it said that by wine, it depends when they bring the wine. If it's the middle of the meal, each one makes their own bracha. If it's after the meal, then one guy makes the bracha for everybody. By mugmar, why don't we draw such a distinction? By mugmar, let's also say it depends when they bring the mugmar. People are still eating, then everybody makes their own bracha on the mugmar. People are no longer eating, then you make the bracha one person for everybody. So says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the difference is. Mugmar kula merichin. By mugmar, everybody smells at the same time. Since everybody smells at the same time, so everybody knows that they're going to stop eating and make a bracha. Yain echotoim. By wine, nobody's necessarily timing it exactly. One guy's tasting the wine, the other people are not. So therefore, it's dangerous that people might come as a result to do all sorts of clumsy things and put themselves in danger. Rabbi Zira said, "B'shem Rabbi Yirmiya, Mugmar knew Alocha. Mugmar came and shel Asher. They used to light this incense. So once the smoke comes up, once you see the smoke rising from the incense, even though it hasn't actually reached your nose yet, you make a bracha at that point."
Says the Gemara. Yes. Well, you know, truth is, I really should expand on that point. It's a very, you raise a valid issue, but this distinction, the Gemara which draws this distinction between Mugmar and Yayin, obviously doesn't hold Sakonis the Pashas issue. Because if it's Sakaris Tefashos issue, just say, I'll tell you what the difference between wine and Mugmar is. By wine, we have Sakaris Tefashos. By Mugmar, it's not Sakaris Tefashos, right? So therefore, by wine, we draw a distinction. By Mugmar, we don't. But it seems like this Gemara, at this point, the Gemara is trying to draw a distinction without the Sakaris Tefashos factor. Then it's asking why there's possibly a time when wine, you wouldn't all be Yotzi together. Whereas by Mugmar, it seems you're always Yotzi together. So the Gemara is saying the nature of drinking wine is different than the nature of smelling Mugmar. By wine, when you're ready to drink, I might not be ready to drink. That's why the Gemara says, by wine, we didn't make a takana to do it together. By Mugmar, when they bring it into the room, everybody smells it together. So that's why I make a bracha together. You don't like that? Yeah. Oh. Fine. That's a good. Okay. So now look at the next line. Right. But the line we just read, which I was didn't yet explain. Mugmar came chel oshen tzarich levarach. The chiddush is by incense. You don't have to smell in order to make a bracha. You make a bracha the moment you see the smoke rising from the incense. You're right. Not everybody smells the incense at the same time. But the bracha on the incense, this is obviously a new gather in Over Last Yosso. The bracha on the incense is made when you see the smoke rising from the fire. So since that's the case, you make the bracha on the incense even before you actually smell it. So that's why it's considered to be simultaneous for everybody. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya bo mivdok Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yirmiya wanted to check out Rabbi Zira. He gave him a test. I'm like, Ketz roi me'al shem an'orif. What bracha do you make on pleasant smelling oil? I'm like, so he said, Asher nosan reach toiv b'shem an'orif. Said, the bracha maker is he who gave a good smell to pleasant oil. I'm like, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, ha, you failed. That's not the bracha you make. Asher nosan reach toiv b'shem an'orif. Does the oil have any smell? Oil has no smell. What gives the smell to the oil? The spices, the something they put in. So therefore he said, what bracha do you make? He who gave a pleasant smell to the besomim which goes into the oil. Yitzra baraba bar mechasio. Rav Chanano. Havu yasfin. They're both sitting. Chad amar bar shenosan reach tov batzei besomim. One made the bracha you gave good fragrance to the trees of Besamim. The Chayinah, the other said, Baruch Shnasan Reach Tov Beis Vartz, you gave good smell to the grass of the land. Meisiv Man the Mar Beis Vartz, the one who made the bracha on grass. Laman the Amar Batzei Besamim, the one who made the bracha on wood. The Chiyetzei Meim. How can you say it's wood? The spices are herbs. They grow on bushes. So he said, doesn't matter. For Aksiv, it says that when Rochav hid the two spies, Vatid Menem Bepishtei Aetz, she hid them in the trees of flax, or the flaxen trees. Flax doesn't grow on trees. Flax grows on bushes. We see V'chiyetzi Menem, rather, what do we see? We see clearly that even bushes are called trees. Sa'akil Lebei Rabbeis Rav, those who went to the yeshiva of Rav, and Shimon Baruch Huna said, B'shem Rav, in the name of Rav, Asher Nosan Reach Tov Batzei B'Samim, the bracha is Nosan Reach Tov Batzei B'Samim. Geniva Amar, Geniva said, whatever bracha you make, you only make it when you're using the oil in order to give yourself a good fragrance. However, Shemen Lazuma, if you're using the oil because you smell bad, it's deodorant. You have a bad smell about you. Using deodorant in a tzarich levarach, you don't make the bracha. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, "Vafilu kavli l'tochiyaro." Even put a lot in your hand, a mikvah. You put a bunch of this good oil in your hand, you still can't make a bracha if it's done lezuama, if it's only done in order to take away a bad smell. Rabbi Chelbo and Rav Huna both said b'shem Rav, "Hamar b'tilontis b'soch beso." Somebody who spread. No, even though it's not altered in the Zoman, right. And even then, you don't make a bracha even though it's excess, the primary reason for the Zoman. Rav Huna b'shem Rav said, "Hamarabi tilantis b'soch beso." Somebody who puts a lot of who lays down a lot of spices in his house. In order to, but he's doing it in order to clean his house, not in order to smell a good smell. So, and it's only he doesn't have to make a bracha. Amrav Chitzchiz said, "Al kulam." No, even in all these cases where you do it for zuama and you're doing it in order to clean your house, in all of them, oimar shenosa reachto batzi b'samim, bar min ha'hen muskin, except for musk, which comes from an animal. Musk oil comes from an animal. And that the Yemar Shanosan Reachtov Bimine Busamim, since it's not actually from a tree or from a spice, from an herb or from a bush, so then he say Mine Busamim. Now I believe, if I recall correctly, our minig is not to make a bracha on musk oil. Despite the Ushami. I don't know if it's from the Bavli or for some other reason, but if I recall that we don't make a bracha on perfume or any type of spice fragrance which is not from plant origin. No, we don't make on any animal origin. Okay, let's go on. If you love maliach b'tchila, if they brought you a piece of herring or some salty vegetable, upasimo, and there's bread with it, mivorech al maliach, you make a bracha on the herring, upoter sapas. And this part is you offer made the bracha on the bread. Shapas tfeilo, the bread is secondary to the herring. In other words, you're just eating the bread to accompany the herring. Zeaklau is the general principle. Kosh to ikar, bimo tfeilo, anytime there's a primary thing which you're eating, and with it there's something which is secondary, mevorech al ikar, you make a bracha on the primary thing, upoitas at tfeilo, and you that pre, you don't have to make a bracha on the secondary. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman said, "B'shem Rabbi Yonasan, Mas Naisa, our Mishnah is Achelo Lom Nusudas Melachim." This is before they ate like kings. And Malkum Shreisim is Samliya Chikar. They already know the Chassidim. They ate a shtick herring with a little bit of kichel. That was their whole meal. So therefore, on the kichel, they wouldn't make a bracha. It was tofel to the herring. But now that we eat many things after the herring, that we just use as an appetizer. So the bread has independent value. We eat the bread throughout the meal. So therefore, we can no longer say the bread is tofel to the herring. We make a bracha on the bread separately. Again, it's a mokum shalom achalom du sulis melachim, and therefore it's a mokum shalom achalom achikar. The herring is the main meal. Have a mokum shalom achalom achikar, but a place where the herring is not the main meal, lobadah, with that case we're not talking about. Rabbi Yirmim Shem Rav says, piso par, eating bread with cereal. Now, what's the bracha on bread? What's the bracha on cereal? Eating them together, though. Omer al apirur, you make the bracha on the cereal. The malkum shesod seem as a pirikor, where the cereal is primary. A malkum shesod seem as a pirikor, where the cereal is not primary. Lo, but obviously in that case, you don't make the bracha on the cereal. Rabbi Simish said, "B'shem Hashem Elokish, shkizme upiso." If you're eating some dish made out of fried almonds and flour, and you're eating that together with bread, so Omer al shkizme, you say the bracha on the almonds. Malkum Shaysim is a shkizmi ikar, again where the shkizmi is primary. Malkum Shaysim is a shkizmi ikar, a place where the bread is just as important. Lo b'dah. In that case, we didn't say make the bracha only on the almonds. Achal te'enim, yeet figs, vanovim and grapes, and rimoinim and pomegranates. Varchem shosh brachos ivran gamliel. Kongil make birkas amozon. Why? Because the Shiva Samini. Shiva Saminim, you make Birkas HaMazon. We don't pass this way, obviously. That's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Chomer Brachah Chomer say like we hold main Sholosh Ala Eitz Vapriets. Rakiva Amar Filoch Al Shelik. Even you could eat cooked vegetables. Rumizona, but that's your meal like in America where we don't wash at every meal. So in America, whenever you eat a main meal, even you don't wash, according to Rabbi Akiva and Baruch Lev Shosh Brachas, you bench. Hashoysa Mayim Litzomo, if you drink water because you're thirsty, I'm a shakul near before, you make a shakul first. Rabbi Tarfa Nomer, Brain of Foshas Rabbis Lissern, he would make a Brain of Foshas before he drank the water. Not after he drank the water, before he drank the water, obviously we don't pass him like him. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Tidor, Tadoi, Seb Shem, Rabbi Yeshua. Achim Mizrachel Sheitena. You ate on the east side of a fig tree. Uvol echob marov, and now you want to eat on the west side. Tzorech levarech. That's called a shini mokum. If you didn't have in mind to change places, like we said before, according to Rav, or even if you had in mind, according to Shmuel, you have to make a new brach in the place where you go. It's on this different side of a tree. Doesn't matter. That in and of itself is a mechayev bracha. Abba. Yeah, must mean that these are considered to be two specific different locations. Abba Baravuna, Mara Baravuna said, Yain Yoshan, Yain Chodosh. If you're drinking old wine and they brought you now new wine, Tzarech Levarech. However, that's only if it's two different types of wine completely, that one is old and one is new. If Shinu Yain, and that's really like Shinu Mokum. This is like a different type of wine altogether. It's a different type of wine, you make a new brach on it. However, Shinu Yain, if they're both old, and both or both new, but they're different types, ain't Tzorech Levarech. Shinu Mokum, if you change places, regardless, Tzorech Levarech. You see, Adait, if you're staying in the same place, but you're Mesiach Das, you're eating, you stop for a while, and you figure you're not going to eat anymore, and then you change your mind and decide you're going to eat again. Also, you have to make a new bracha. What? No, not finishing. You have to make a new bracha Rishoina. Okay? Even if now you're eating again where you were before, since in the middle you're Mesiach Das, you have to make a new bracha.
Sure. Is that about the other bracha?
What?
Is that about the does it replace the original bracha? And
well, what do you mean replace? It's the second bracha.
You have a certain amount of time to eat with the bracha.
No, you're asking a separate question. In other words, if you ate, made a bracha, and then he ate, and then you tarried enough to digest the food, when you can't make another you can't make a bracha achrona anymore, and now can you make a new bracha rishoina? And new bracha achrona and part of the first food. No, doesn't work. The first food's gone. It's digested. This is an independent halacha. You know, I'm pretty sure now, coming back to what we began with, if you have wine before the meal in one room, and you have wine now in another room, so it's only a dinner bracha rishoina. Shini Mokum is only the Imbrach Rishon, not Brach HaChrona. There's no chiv to make a Brach HaChrona except by benching, where the Chatechil is supposed to bench, in the place where you wait. By anything else, you don't have to make the Brach in the same place. So therefore, I'm pretty sure that in this case, where you had wine, say, in room number one, then you move to room number two, you will have to make a new Brach. Al Shini Mokum, assuming that it is indeed a Shini Mokum, like Ravi didn't have Das to begin with. However, the Bracha Riachrona is only one Bracha Chrona at the end. This is assuming there was no Esach, this is assuming it was one continuous intent to go from one place to the other place, then you don't make a Bracha Achrona. But obviously, if you don't realize that when you're going to go to the next place, you're going to continue eating or drinking, of course, before you leave, it's preferable to make a bracha achrona. But if you forgot and you're now in the second place, the halach is you don't have to go back and make a bracha achrona where you did it. The halach is you can make a bracha achrona wherever you are. Again, that's true about everything else besides benching. Benching we'll see later on in the Masechta. Okay? Now, Rebbe said, "Al kol chavis v'chavis on each and every Rebbe." He didn't say, "Al kol chavis v'chavis on each and every barrel they open." What would he say? Not a pavari priagofen over again, but Rabbi Yitzchok Ruba of Hashem Rebbe said, "Baruch atov ameitim." Now we pass in this way. Aloch lemaisa. I don't know how many of you do this, but if you have a bottle of wine on your meal for at your table for Kiddush, and then later on you bring another bottle of wine, it was not on the table for Kiddush. It must be a better bottle of wine. Then you make a tov ameitim. So if you made a goffin on chveis, cream red Concord, one of those basic wines, and then later on you brought even Zinfandel to the table, which is a more choshev wine, you make a baruch atov ameitiv on it. Okay?
Before the
wine. Depends on the wine. It costs a couple dollars more a bottle, but you're right, depends on the wine. Okay? Maisa Rabbi Akiva Shosa Mishal Shimon Beno. So Maisa Rabbi Akiva made a party for Shimon his son. Seems that Shimon and his son got married. I'll call Chavis the Chavis Shabbosach, and each and every barrel he would open, Chayim Mevorechalei would make a brach on it. Vayman, he said, Chamra Tova Lechaye Rabbonon Ulatamidon. Well, it's not a real brach. He would say, good wine for the lives of the rabbis and their students. It was an early version of Lechaim. Hashoysamayim Tzomo, getting back to the guy who's drinking water. He was drinking for, because he's thirsty, Omer Baruch Shakol Niebidvoro. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Chutz mi made the corn beef. He's drinking milk of magnesia type water. I don't know what kind of water. It's water which grew by palm trees, and it makes you it's a remedy for constipation. So you're not drinking because you're thirsty. You're drinking for refuah. In that case, you don't make a bracha." I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ulechol ma'im shutzami loin." Again, you only make a bracha on water which you're thirsty. For instance, if you drink water because you're nervous or because you want to wet your palate, you know, you have dry lips, they don't make a bracha on that. There's no shakel in that. I'm Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin said, "Ashreisa made the karim." Somebody drinks this wine, this water, which can make loosens constipation. Ma'omer, what do you say? Baruch shebara me'refuos. Blessing you created waters of healing. Yeah, so the thing is, it seems that they were making Hashem. We don't anymore, obviously. We don't have this bracha. Baruch Shabar Mine Rufus. But yes, they would make Hashem Malchus. Yeah. The Munkacher asks, and how come we don't make Hashem Malchus anymore? Says, well, I don't know. But you should say without Hashem Malchus. That's what he says. It's Tani Tani. Zatano learned that it's called Made Dekorim, which means piercing waters. These tiny tanas, the tana learned that it's called made the kolim, which means water palm trees. Mandamar made the kolim. He said it's called piercing waters. Shein dogrim asamara, they pierce the bile, which means that they clear the passageways in the intestines. Mandamar made the kolim. Shein yoytzim be bench they the kolim. It's that they came out, they grow, and they don't grow. They spring out of the ground where they well out between two palm trees. That's where you find them. That's where they're called made the kolim as opposed to made the korim. Hajjal Kates and Mavarchim will stop here for tonight. The thing is like this, one and a half.